From the City of Angels near the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Later on tonight, it's called Happy Money. And then later on, a tribute to the late Stanton Friedman, ufologist, passed away a few weeks ago at the age of 84. Here's what's happening. Top administration officials and lawmakers have left the White House after a more than hour-long classified briefing about Iran's sudden downing of an American surveillance drone in the Middle East and a measured U.S. response, as they suggested, is likely coming. Now, there's been reports tonight that President Trump stopped anything in terms of any military intervention at this time. Now, amid mounting tensions between the U.S. and Iran, the White House earlier invited House and Senate leaders and Democrats and Republicans on the House and Senate Intelligence and Armed Services Committees to meet with President Trump in the White House's secure situation room. We will be monitoring this situation very closely. In the past year, according to the U.S. State Department, at least 8 American tourists have died after falling ill in the Dominican Republic resorts, and dozens more have gotten sick. The incidents have garnered widespread media coverage now, causing many Americans to rethink their travel plans. But despite the rash of illnesses, the U.S. State Department has not issued an elevated travel advisory yet for the island nation. And the agency says in a statement that they have not seen an uptick in deaths despite the media coverage. I thought this was a significant enough show and problem that I check in with Howard Bloom, our expert on such matters. Howard, this is a bizarre story.
It's a bizarre story, and it gives the impression that there's some demonic anti-American in the Dominican Republic who is hell-bent on poisoning Yankees. But here are the facts. 9 American tourists and 2 American plastic surgery patients have died in the Dominican Republic in the 2 months since April 14th. Most of the tourists were found dead in their hotel rooms, and many were in their 40s and their 50s. They were too young to die. But that's not all. 47 out of 114 Jimmy Buffett fans vacationing in the Dominican Republic got sick. 9 out of 12 members of the same family visiting the Dominican Republic fell ill. Jeez. And had to be hospitalized when they returned to America. Roughly 40 Oklahoma Deer Park High School seniors were celebrating their graduation in the Dominican Republic. A bunch went for dinner to a Japanese restaurant, and between 5 and 8 of those diners got sick and were hospitalized. And a honeymoon couple were found dead in their hotel room. Yes, both of them. The simultaneous deaths seem very suspicious. Then there's the 1,000 visitors to the Dominican Republic who over several years have complained on a website called IWasPoisoned.com about health problems tied to their Dominican vacations. The FBI and the Richmond University Medical Center are performing toxicology tests to pinpoint the cause of the recent deaths. Only 4 potential causes have been discussed so far: salmonella, insecticide poisoning, heart attacks, and in the case of Red Sox member David Ortiz, who was shot June 9th in the Dominican Republic, a bullet. But there's one other potential cause of these Dominican deaths, and it's chance. That's right, the arbitrary swipes of the Grim Reaper. Over 6 million tourists visit the Dominican Republic every year. Let me repeat that. 6 million, more than the population of Denmark. 2.3 million of those vacationers are Americans. So by sheer chance, you'd expect roughly 619 American tourists to die in the Dominican Republic every year, roughly. That's over 51 a month, dying at the same rate as us mainland Americans, and 51 is more than the 7, or the 11, reported in roughly the last 2 months. So what in the world is keeping American tourists in the Dominican Republic so healthy? But there's something even more: food poisoning. 1 out of 6 Americans come down with food poisoning every year, according to the U.S. Government Center for Disease Control. Now, if the Dominican Republic's restaurants live up to American health standards, you'd expect that over 1,000 of the Dominican Republic's 2.3 million American tourists would come down with food poisoning every month. Yes, more than 1,000 every month coming down with food poisoning, just by chance, not at the hand of a demon poisoner. Now remember, us humans, this includes you and me, George, we look for patterns in everything.
Mm-hmm.
And the patterns that satisfy our hunger the most are evil deeds that we can blame on our fellow human beings, evil deeds we can blame on villains. But in all probability, the only evildoer in the Dominican Republic's recent tourist industry is the 23-year-old assassin who picked the wrong man and fired a bullet into the back of Red Sox first baseman David Ortiz.
Well, I got to tell you, Howard, this whole situation is bizarre. My gut tells me there's something else going on here.
You could be right, but the statistics say we are probably both wrong.
All right. Thanks a lot. Keep your eyes on this one for us. Coast to Coast guest Richard Shaw, director and producer of the Watcher series with L.A. Marzulli, has sadly and suddenly passed away at the age of 65 years old. L.A. Marzulli is with us. He has been his partner for years. L.A., our condolences. This is just shocking.
Yeah, I got to tell you, George, it happened last night. Richard and Mary actually called me from the hospital. He was getting ready to go into surgery, and this was around 5:30. And, you know, Richard and Mary have been married like 40 years or something. And so I prayed with them, and I talked to Richard. He sounded very weak, but he was responsive and typically good-hearted. He said, "Thanks so much, L.A., and I'll see you soon." Jeez. And Mary called me at 11:30 Oklahoma time last night and said that basically what happened is they went in. The surgeons went in. It was an eight-man team. And they expected the surgery to go about 8 hours, and it lasted about an hour. And they went in. He was under anesthesia at that point. They started to go, you know, made the incision and went in and to try to stop the bleeding. And it was bleeding. The aorta was bleeding. And the surgeon came out and basically said that his heart just failed. They tried to resuscitate him. It didn't work. And the surgeon said that his heart looked like it just deteriorated. So, I mean, in one way, it's merciful in the sense that he went very quickly without any pain. On the other hand, we were absolutely dumbfounded, shocked, and I'm still numb. I mean, I'm just sitting here talking to you.
This has been just a horrible year for you, Ellie. You lost your house in the California fires, and now your dear partner has passed on.
You know, Richard and I created 11 Watchers films. You know, we had a good run with it, and when we ended the series, we parted amicably. We used to go out to lunch before the fire, like, you know, once a week, whatever. We were in contact last week, in fact. We texted each other and emailed and called and whatever, even though we were, you know, thousands of miles apart, but we kept the friendship going. We're headed back to Malibu in August, and we were going to have lunch and visit and do all that. And so we're all shocked. I know Gary Stearman and Bob Ulrich of Prophecy Watchers. I did a little update with Gary today, and they did a wonderful video that you know, you can take a look at on their site and check it out. But we started a GoFundMe page because Mary, again, is Richard's widow now. Of basically, they were married 40 years. And so it's GoFundMe.com/Richard-Shaw.
And we have that link, by the way, at coasttocoastam.com. In the highlight reel, folks, it's the fourth little carousel button that you'll see there. It's a GoFundMe campaign to help with some of the funding and financing for the funeral.
Jeez. Yeah, it's quite a shocker, extremely sudden. And, you know, when I spoke to him yesterday at 5:30, I'm just thinking to myself, well, you know, this is going to pass. It's going to be okay. He's going to be fine. And Mary calls me at 11:30, and I was shocked, dumbfounded, and basically walking around like a zombie all day.
So all right, my friend.
Been real tough.
When you get your emotions back, however long it takes, we'll stay in touch, okay?
Thanks so much, George. Appreciate it.
L.A. Marzulli. It's a rough story. Well, new research in biomechanics suggests that young people are developing horn-like spikes at the back of their skulls. I'm not kidding. Bone spurs caused by the forward tilt of the head, which shifts weight from the spine to the muscles, and they are calling this because of the cell phones that they use. They're developing these spikes on the back of their head. My gosh. The national average age rose to 38.2 years last year, according to the Census Bureau. That suggests that half of the U.S. population now is more than 38 years old. By gender, the median age for a woman is 39.5. For men, it's 36.9. We're slowly aging. Working long hours is linked to an increased risk of stroke. Long hours were defined in a French study as more than 10 hours on at least 50 days per year. Working one day a week is the key to the best mental health, according to new research. Researchers at the University of Cambridge set out to find a working pattern that would be most beneficial to employees' mental health. Their finding, published in the Science Daily, reveals working any more than 8 hours a week provided no additional boost to mental well-being. So let's just work 7 hours a week, and that is it. Listen to this story. Gray seals. Seals are capable of singing movie themes and mimicking human language, according to a new study. Researchers at the University of St. Andrews have trained three gray seals to copy sound sequences, resulting in several note renditions of Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star and the Star Wars theme. It's amazing. The Defense Department has briefed Senate Intelligence Committee Vice Chairman Mark Warner, among with two other senators, as part of what appeared to be heightened efforts to inform politicians about naval encounters with unidentified flying objects. What else is going on in the skies? Peter Davenport from the National UFO Reporting Center. Hi, Peter.
Hi, George, and good evening to our Coast audience. I was just sitting here thinking about your report on work weeks and what the optimum work week is. I often wonder what working two shifts a day, 7 days a week has done to my health. I don't know how a person could get any work done just working 10 hours a day. Well, as you know, I often like to start off my report with a past sighting report from the distant past. First one I'd like to introduce to our audience is from September 1985. An adult female writes that she was working aboard a tuna fishing boat in that era. This is September 1985. She was sailing with a sister ship. They're tuna fishing ships, and they were making their way from San Diego to Hawaii when all of a sudden she saw on her radar, which was adjusted to 30 miles out, a very large blip, and it was moving so fast that she immediately turned to 15-mile, then 10-mile, then 5-mile, then 2-mile. Then the whole sea, the Pacific Ocean, lit up.
Wow.
Like she couldn't believe. It was blinding, so blindingly bright she had to turn her head. Well, in normal circumstances, the first thing you think about is a meteor.
Sure.
A meteor.
Overhead, that's right.
But in a matter of a few seconds, she saw the object that she had seen on radar enter the Pacific Ocean. It caused an immense splash of water, which was seen by other boats as well, and it turned the water blue. It was underwater and turning the water blue, reminiscent of what Commander David Fravor reported about the object he saw during his intercept in November of 2004. Off the coast of San Diego. In any event, that report is very interesting, very compelling, and it's posted to our website, ufocenter.com. There was another more recent event that occurred two nights ago out in the Midwest, specifically from Ohio, Illinois, Indiana, and I think Kentucky as well. People saw three very bright, perfectly round objects hovering in the night sky or early evening sky, 7 to 9 p.m. And I'd like to compliment one of the syndicate stations for Coast to Coast, WHIO-TV, that did a wonderful job of investigating and researching it.
Right.
Still remains a mystery as far as I'm concerned. When I first heard about it, I thought it was a helium-filled balloon, but the facts seem to militate against that. Now, it was perfectly circular. The Air Force, the National Weather Service, and Google have denied any knowledge of it. They don't have any balloons up, so it remains a mystery. And to close things off, similar reports from Savannah, Georgia, the same night, from Ruidoso, New Mexico, the same night, and we've had reports from Kansas City and San Clemente tonight of similar events. So something strange may be going on. These are all such new reports, I haven't had time to investigate them, but we'll have them posted to our website in the near future.
Super, and we'll talk to you next week, Peter. Thanks for the reports. Will we go to war with Iran? Let's talk with astrologer Mark Lerner about this next on Coast to Coast AM. Let me tell you a little bit about our astrologer, Mark Lerner. He began his astrological studies in New York City back in 1972. His Earth Aquarius News website represents emerging astrological wisdom with late-breaking reporting in an online newspaper format. He has done thousands of astrological consultations during more than four decades of professional work. We're going to talk with Mark about a lot of things with astrology, but first the Iranian situation. But Mark, welcome back, first of all.
Thank you, George. I really appreciate it.
So tension with Iran, of course. They shot down one of our drones, claiming it was in their airspace. We claim it was not. The big issue, of course, is going to be the tensions escalate. Astrologically speaking, do you look at this? And if you do, how do you do that?
It's very comprehensive, very complicated. Of course, if you know the chart, which we do for the current president, which we know his birth time, President Trump, that helps because then we can move his chart through what's called astrocartography all over the planet. He does have a predilection, shall we say, from his birth chart that there would be issues around the Persian Gulf. So that's number one, troubling kind of thing. So if we're going to get into trouble, we can look at a president's chart from the American perspective and look at all the vulnerable areas of the planet. We also have a chart for nations. So, for instance, our chart, our main chart is from the Declaration of Independence back on July 4th, 1776. And we know through a lot of research, at least the time that's given through the work that I did over many years and different researchers, so we can plot that. And then we also have the current events, like in the next 24 hours, we have the solstice. And you know I do mundane, which is really earth astrology. I focus a lot of attention on nations and world leaders. So this is, in the next 24 hours, we start the summer months in the northern hemisphere, and we go into winter in the southern hemisphere, but the planet Neptune, one of the bigger outer planets, is making what we call a station. It's beginning to stop from the Earth's viewpoint. Again, it's an illusory thing, but everything through astrology is what appears to be happening, not necessarily what is actually happening from the sun's perspective. So Neptune can be universal love, it can be wisdom, it could be all kinds of spiritual things and a lot of idealism, but the usual manifestation is chaos and confusion. So that is sort of taking over the world situation, not just in the next 24 hours. And God forbid, had the president actually gone forward with what is said to have occurred, where apparently they were ready to send out some kind of missiles.
Yeah, and he pulled back.
We don't know why. You know, maybe eventually we'll figure that out. But here's the key thing, George. President Trump is all about winning. Okay, everything is winning, and this would be, I never thought I would say this, that I would ever agree with Vladimir Putin, but in the last 24 hours, Vladimir Putin has come out and said war in the Persian Gulf with Iran would be a catastrophe. And the word catastrophe, which is apparently what he used in Russian, means to go against the stars. This is a very fascinating
interesting
thing. When we say disaster, it's an ancient etymological force of going against the stars. Same thing for the word catastrophe, C-A-T, and then astrophe. So both of these words, disaster and catastrophe, means to go against the stars. And so my concern is that, as we know, President Trump's instincts from the past, you know, this is not a person who was a Republican. He was a person who was not for getting involved in wars. This was one of his biggest pitches when he was running, like, let's not get involved. Let's pull the troops home. He's pulling us out of NATO and all these different treaties. But he has John Bolton. He has Mike Pompeo. And these are people who are more of hawks. So he's split.
Well, and there's no question we want regime change in Iran.
Right.
And I'm not so sure we should commit military. You know, we've got 1,000 more soldiers going to the Middle East.
It would be a disaster for various reasons, because you can't contain this. And as a lot of people would report from other areas of government from the past, is that Iran is not just Iran. First of all, we're talking about the Persian Empire, and we tend to be the new kid on the block.
Well, and thank God there wasn't a pilot in this plane. It was a drone. It was unmanned.
Exactly.
Thank God.
Yeah, because, look, remember when President Trump dropped the mother of all bombs somewhere in Afghanistan, just to sort of set that all off, you know, and he did it in maybe a remote area, or maybe it wasn't a remote area, but it was just to sort of show, oh, we have this superior kind of force. Same thing with Kim Jong-un about we have a bigger button than he had, and then everything has sort of come down to the art of the deal, you know, Donald Trump style. The problem is that Iran now, their leaders, they don't respect us. We tore up our part of the agreement. The allies are still in agreement, but that what are they going to do if the United States is going to be kind of a loose cannon here?
Hold on, Mark. We'll talk more about this when we come back. Astrologer Mark Lerner with us on Coast to Coast AM. And we are back with astrologer Mark Lerner. We're talking about Iran. We'll get into some other issues as well. So astrologically speaking, Mark, in your opinion, is there going to be war with Iran or negotiation?
Oh, I really can't imagine we're going to go to war. And the reason is first of all, let's not forget the G20. Okay, if we're talking about right now, okay, obviously President Trump pulled back. He just had what's called his solar return. He just had a birthday, turned 73. And if we know a person's birth time, we can plot their next year ahead. And he's under all kinds of what we might call the planet Mars-related issues. And he needs to really express those against the Democrats. And he just began the Orlando event for another term. So he can't keep dishing out this kind of stuff in every direction. So that's why he has people like John Bolton and Mike Pompeo. And the problem is that he fundamentally, remember the whole thing of The Apprentice? He's not somebody who ever fires anybody. That was just him on TV. Hmm. And we now have learned he's very reluctant to do that. So what happens is he has somebody else do it. It happens through Twitter or whatever it may be. Remember James Comey found out? He couldn't believe that he was fired.
By tweets, right?
By tweets. It was on TV, and he thought it was a joke. Okay, so here's what I want to say. This is all very important. Well, first of all, Earth Aquarius News, which was my website, has been absorbed into Great Bear Enterprises. I used to be the Great Bear back in FinTorn days, and so I've recouped my original totem, shall we say. But people can go to Earth Aquarius News on the website. It's where the main stories are, and we've got this whole area with what are these called astrocartography maps. I just put one up of the latest full moon. And so what I'm doing is I plot out these full moons. We're going to have an eclipse, a total solar eclipse on July 2nd. It's going to be around Chile in the South Pacific, but it still affects the whole world. And so I'll be putting that on the website to show how the planetary lines like the Sun, Moon, Uranus, Neptune, Pluto, Mars are affecting whether it's North Korea area or China or the Middle East and so on. So people can come to the website. Usually every 2 weeks we'll have either a full moon or a new moon or an eclipse. So the other thing is that we have charts. Iran has a chart from February 11th, 1979. Remember the Ayatollah Khomeini when he came out of Paris? And that was a whole change there. And we have a chart for Israel that we've been using, astrologers all over the world, from May 14th, 1948, when Israel came into being. So astrologers are working with the national charts. They're updating them. They look at transits. They look at progressions. These are how you update a chart. And then they plot these kind of things. Plus, for instance, Netanyahu and President Trump have the same exact Mars. They're born 2 years apart, but Mars has a two-year cycle. So one of the reasons they're simpatico and that they support each other is they have identical Mars positions. So regarding, say, war or going against Iran, they're on the same page. But to actually have a war there will create so much havoc. I mean, not only oil.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Yeah, so the thing is, you can't strategically just, I guess they were thinking maybe they'll bomb a refinery somewhere as a tit-for-tat kind of a thing. But then Trump pulled back, and part of the reason is that he has to win, and this is not a winnable thing. You cannot create a war in Iran. I'm not saying it can't happen. Anything can happen through mistakes, and that's where the astrology. He is not somebody who clearly, he doesn't have an astrologer that's working for him, or if he did, he's not listening to the astrologer or a group of astrologers. Otherwise, they would be saying things like, what are you doing? Do not do this.
Well, maybe he did, though, today when he pulled back.
Maybe, yeah, that's possible, although I think actually it's his instinct, because his instinct is he always remembers he has to be a winner. And the other thing is interesting, Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau was there today. And Trudeau clearly is not somebody who would be going for something like this. You never know. He might have said something, then they call, you know, Angela Merkel and some other people, and they might not say anything, and then they just say, Mr. President, this is not a good idea. And Vladimir Putin has just said it's a catastrophe. So, you know what I mean? Wiser heads prevail.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, there's another thing that concerns me, Mark, and that is Putin from Russia simply saying, who knows what could happen if this gets out of control.
Well,
was it a threat? What is that?
No, first of all, we have the outward thing of what we hear everybody saying, and we don't know what's going on through, you know, the telephone lines behind the scenes. What my concern is the whole thing about a mistake. And from the astrological perspective, what happens is, like, tomorrow, when I mentioned we have a solstice, which is summer for 3 months.
Yeah, here we go. First day of summer.
First day of summer, but it's the first day of winter in the southern hemisphere. But nevertheless, what's happening is, this is where astrologers get really worried. When an event happens that in Earth or mundane astrology, it starts a three-month time period. Okay, so what we call summer will go on till like September 22nd, 23rd, and then we'll have the fall. In mundane astrology, we have an exact three-month kind of 90-day cycle. And if anything else astrological hits simultaneously, in this case, it's the outer planet Neptune stopping. A stopping planet or a stationary planet is extra powerful. Neptune's in a sign that it's very comfortable with, Pisces. So what's ratcheting up is all the peace lovers, heart, love, spirituality on the highest levels. But that's not good. A whole bunch of meditating and a whole bunch of sending out prayers for peace is not going to necessarily change the situation, and not every planet lives on its higher level. So the shadow of Neptune is chaos and confusion. And so we immediately already have that happening, where some event is going to go on. We don't even know whether that particular drone was in Iranian airspace. They say it was. We say it wasn't. Whether it was or it wasn't. They didn't kill people in the process. So to go to war over an event like that seems ridiculous.
Well, and that's why I think he probably pulled back. I also think he thinks maybe there's a possibility here that the Iranians made a mistake.
Right.
And if that is a legitimate mistake, so be it. The other thing, Mark, is I'm not sure they were the ones who bombed these two oil tankers.
Well, that's also, Prime Minister Abe from Japan was there. And he was trying to kind of do a mini negotiation. And then the ship's captain said, no, we weren't hit in the way that the Americans say. So then we start worrying about one of these events like with the Vietnam War, you know, like
the Gulf of Tonkin. Absolutely.
Yeah, the Gulf of Tonkin, like a false flag kind of thing. Because, again, here.
Or how about the weapons of mass destruction in Iraq,
right,
which they never found?
Right. Because what we, and this is the problem. See, President Trump, he's a sun sign Gemini. Pardon me, you are too.
Yes, I am.
Geminis are very high minded, very clear. And the president has a superlative way of communicating. I mean, through the tweeting universe, I mean, he's captured all the attention of the media, whether he's right or wrong or whatever he's saying. But the problem is, he's born at a total lunar eclipse. And so the moon in his chart is exactly opposite his sun, and they're in what we call the mutable, changeable signs of Gemini.
Don't you think, Mark, his presidency will lie on, in this future presidency, on how he handles this Iranian situation?
Well, absolutely.
It'll either zoom or not.
Well, again, you know, one of the things, I hate to jump forward, wait, you know, a couple of years, but assuming somehow he holds on and he and Pence win again, if that were to be the case, and there are many reasons why that could happen, as people who are already in power, unless they're making terrible, terrible mistakes, find some way, usually, to win re-election. Of course, we've got all the scandals, all the question marks about what might happen. But what we're heading into in 2020, 2021, and the next couple of years, in America's birth chart from 1776, the outer planet Pluto, which is really a planet that's still used, it's not really a dwarf planet for astrologers, that planet comes back. It has a 247-year cycle. And even though President Trump was born when Jupiter is not moving, which is why when he says things only I can fix it, or things are going to be huge, or everything about winning, that is all very Jupiterian in terms of mythology, because Jupiter was the king of the gods. When he came down that elevator at Trump Tower, there was so much Jupiter, which goes back to mythology. However, he's also a plutocrat. So what happens is, he came into power, he came down that elevator right at the point, remember New Horizons was launched, took 10 years,
mm-hmm.
It was launched in 2005 or 2006, within the month that he came down and joined the candidacy, we discovered we had close-up pictures of Pluto, and we found out that Pluto is geologically active in a way that has stunned scientists. Everybody had pictures of Pluto being this frozen world, right, 3 billion miles away. It's going to be desolate, and it's not. And that's what we're actually, I mean, think of the people who are in the administration, all the billionaires, right, who are in the different positions of power. So we really have this plutocracy going on, and we're going to have it whether he's president again or not. So whether we get through all of this with Iran and Israel and Netanyahu and Trump holding on and having these sort of martial connections, we're going to have this sort of massive confusion with outer planets for several years. There's not going to be a time where suddenly we're going to wake up and everything is going to be crystal clear. It won't be.
All right, now let's talk about some other issues, including UFOs. Have you ever studied UFOs astrologically speaking?
Absolutely. I mean, I did this for so many years. The Arnold sighting, I wrote about this. It's still on an old website of mine from 24 years ago that I wrote about the Arnold sighting. That really started everything off June 24th, 1947.
I read
a lot of Stanton Friedman's work, the whole thing about Majestic, and the day after Roswell, Philip Corso. So I've written a lot about it, and there is a chart that I have that goes back to flying saucers. When Kenneth Arnold sighted those flying saucers, which was up here in the Pacific Northwest. And so I've written a lot about that, and it's very powerful what's going on. I'm watching the Unidentified series on the History Channel. I'm assuming you're tuned into that. You're always on that channel in one form or another, and it's really fascinating to look at that. And there is a lot of astrology to that show. That just came on. There's just been a couple episodes.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, they're talking about the aircraft carrier Nimitz back in November of 2004.
Very timely.
And I've already studied the astrology of that. Now, I haven't reported on it, but I'm accumulating information because I'm now a podcaster, as they would say, and we've got podcasts that I've been studying about the United States birth chart in terms of what is called progressions. And, you know, I realize that so many people out there, your listeners, they barely know maybe a sun sign or a few planets in their chart. They maybe haven't gotten their charts done. So if an astrologer says progressions or transits, they don't even know. It's like hieroglyphics. But I just want people to know that we have reports. We have all kinds of things that can make people's lives a lot easier if they want to get in on the basics.
So you think the UFO phenomena could be the real deal?
Oh, absolutely. Well, yeah, for me.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, look, you know as well as I do. I mean, the whole thing. I mean, where do we get the X-Files show for all those years? We had the Operation Paperclip. I mean, I've been an aficionado of all those, all the movies, the Spielberg movies, you know, and all of that. But just Paperclip, Operation Blue Book, and so on. The whole thing with Roswell, where, again, they tried to say it was a weather balloon. I am absolutely convinced that, of course, we have UFOs, and one of the interesting things is whether Antarctica, which is melting a lot, will reveal a lot of things down there.
I think they might.
Yeah. I've studied all of this. I mean, it would be interesting if you said to me, Mark, what have you not studied, actually? Because in thinking about all this, I mean, one of the problems of Iran, you see, this talk about karma. You have people come on the show, right? They talk about karma and dharma. Mm,
sure,
spirituality.
Absolutely.
So look, this Iran, you mentioned regime change. Well, it was regime change in 1953. The CIA, we know, overthrew their elected Prime Minister Mossadegh. That led to the Shah coming in for 26 years. And then we wind up with Iran being under Khomeini, and we've had that ever since 1979. And now we're trying to do regime change again through John Bolton. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. I mean, sure, we don't want, I mean, clearly there to be any kind of religious or spiritual force that is running a government. I mean, we're supposed to be a government that is separate church and state, right? So it's always uncomfortable to see a nation in the world which is being run by a religious force.
Well, as long as it's a great religion and it's peaceful.
I don't
have a problem with that.
Right. We would not have a problem with it, but we know the other thing about trying to attack any places in Iran. And this is the thing I think we don't recognize when I said we're the new kid on the block. Iran is the Persian Empire, too. They have a long history. And so when we do the kind of things that we do, like, I mean, when I say we, I mean the Western world through colonialism and imperialism over hundreds of years, and we don't, and we forget our history of what we've done in the world, we need to look at that when we look at the issues of today. So I'm just saying, from a historical standpoint and from an astrological standpoint, there are all these forces. For instance, I think I've told you before, there's a chart for European civilization that goes back to the crowning of Charlemagne in 800 AD on Christmas Day, and it's still a chart that can be used to understand Europe. And that's 1,200 years ago, George.
And it's still the same today.
Yeah. And so we can look at that. We can look at these migration cycles and understand things from a long time ago. Same thing from the whole biblical idea, this whole thing of the Crusades. I mean, that's what we're still fighting. That's what this is all about. Israel, Iran, Iraq, Syria, the Middle East, these nations.
Has not changed since 48.
It hasn't changed. And there is a chart that I've used and studied for the First Crusade. And it goes back a long time ago to before 1100. I think it's 1050 something. But there's an exact date. And the Pope actually made a particular statement, you know, in Latin. That started the whole thing going, and then there were maybe seven crusades over 200 years.
Hey, Mark, when we come back after the break, I want to talk about your ability to look at someone's future and their fate. Now, also, when we take calls,
yeah.
Did you want to do any readings for people?
Well,
how do you want to handle that?
Yeah, I mean, if you want to do that, I will leave that up to you and the producer. You know, we've done that before.
What will you need from the caller?
Month, day, and year. If people don't know the time, that's okay. We'll do the best we can. You know, they're short kind of interpretations.
Okay, but we'll keep them short, okay?
Right, exactly, yep.
And we'll talk also about you looking into people's futures. And you've also, you know, touched on reincarnation in your career, haven't you?
I've studied, before I even began astrology, I was studying metaphysics. I was very much in tune with the Edgar Cayce teachings, which I still am. All kinds of Rudolf Steiner, spiritual literature, Helena Blavatsky, the Theosophical Society. I mean, it goes all the way back, you know, just philosophy in general when I was a teenager and in college.
You've been everywhere. Mark, we're going to come back and take phone calls. And if you want a reading, a quick one from him, we need your month, day, and year of your birth. Mark Lerner with us, his website linked up at coasttocoastam.com. It is greatbearenterprises.com.